Let's go to God's Word. We'll go quickly. Here we go. Come on, Rod. Where you at, buddy? Come on, man. Gone 2 weeks. Just slow down on me. Come on. Imminent Storm. Boy, is that a good title. Come on. You know, I put this series together because of hurricane season coming, but it was back about 3 months ago. We've been in a series called Imminent Storm. It's looking at end time events. And actually, I used the idea from Hurricane Ian, and we all get all these warnings about storms, etc. But we got lots of warnings about the storm that's coming in the Word of God. It's called the last days, the end of days. And so we've been doing a prophecy series, and we won't do it all. Next week, I plan on having a message on the rapture. What is the rapture? Is it in the Bible? Is the word rapture there? What is that? Is there a snatching away? If so, when? A lot of debate on that. And a lot of good people have a lot of different things to say. And I know the way I was taught, but what's the Bible have to say? And what can we learn today about the rapture? When's all that going to happen? Perhaps the timing on it. So we're going to look at it next week. That's the plan. And we'll see how we do. Today's message is something that sort of touched me on my trip. And we're still in the same series. So, Raj, let's go, buddy. Let's just back it up a little bit. Last time I was with you, there's a judgment that takes place in the last days. It's actually at the end of the tribulation period. Unbelievable, unprecedented persecution, pain, suffering, war that will take place, led by Satan and the Antichrist, and it will happen on planet Earth. It's mainly against the Jews. Can you say the Jews? Did we see something again? Are we continuing to see problems brewing up in the Middle East? Is that true, yes or no? Did we just send ships to the Middle East? Is that what I saw in the news? Are they putting out warnings now from Jordan, from other countries, from America, from France? If you're in Lebanon, get out. Because now there's a war against Israel coming not just from the West Bank and Hamas and coming from Iran, but it's coming from their neighbor right across the border. I've been there many, many, many times. I've stood right there on that border. Many times. Where those kids were killed on that soccer field. Been up in that area multiple times on our trips that we used to take and tours that we took years ago. But bombs, they're preparing for a war with Hezbollah, which is Iran. You know, so a lot of problems. And it's interesting, all against the Jewish people. In the last days, there will be all hell will break loose against Israel, the Jewish people, and against, there's another group, Christians. Y'all hear me now? Yes or no? You feel like there's less tolerance, even in America, but in our world, to Christianity? Yes or no? Who would have thought you'd have the Olympics and have drag queens making fun of the Last Supper? I mean, it's like something you don't do. Let's put together, so we want to make sure we do something that doesn't offend anybody. We want to do a great job. Okay, well, how about this idea if we have drag queens doing communion? It's unbelievable, but that's what's happening. Guys, whether you want to know it or not, are these the last days? I don't know, but they certainly are signs of the last days. There's no doubt about it. Y'all hear me or not? I'm not a goofball up here. Got it? Say. We've been talking about it. And precarious times. Would you agree? Yes or no? I could do all day. I could do just a radio show just talking about crazy times in our world. I wouldn't even need a script. Okay, but let's go to the Bible. That's what I want to do. I gave a message, end of the tribulation, there'll be a judgment. It's not the final judgment, but it is a judgment. It's called the judgment of the nations. And we saw something when I was with you last time. Pop it up, Rod. Let's see what we can find. Today's message, come on, here we go. Today's message is poverty, love. That's my title. All the titles are my titles. The value of brokenness. But we're not talking about that yet. Let's check out where we were before. But there's an incredible verse. Would you say it with me? One of my all-time favorites at the top. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his what? Poverty might be made what? That doesn't have a thing to do with money. Got it? It has to do, he came down, became like a man, became like us, went to a cross, took our sins on him so you can be saved from a devil's hell. Now that's rich right there. Come on. That is. Rich, baby. But he became poor that we through his, what's our word? What's our word of the day? Poverty. Poverty love. That's what poverty love looks like. Jesus knows what poverty love looks like. Loving when you're broke. Or loving when you're broken. How many would say, I wasn't broke, but I know what it is to love when I'm broken. Anybody want to put a hand up? I know what that feels like to love when I am broken to pieces. Sometimes when you want to quit, take your own life, strike back, pop somebody in the mouth, whatever it might be. But loving when we are broken. Well, we see that at the end of the tribulation period. We saw it in my last message when I was here. It was actually three Sunday mornings. And Roger put that incredible picture of Jesus coming. Look at that wolf after that lamb. And Jesus comes running. Look, I love this. I love what he does. Can we thank the Lord for what he does today? I love that. I love that. And if you don't love that, I recently got a letter where somebody didn't appreciate me calling out Roger and pointing to the slides. They actually criticized that. What kind of nut would criticize that? Y'all hear me or not? Say. This is incredible. Technology is wonderful when we can learn the word and have it just solidified with something on the screen. Is that beautiful or what? Amen? Come on, man. Look at that. That's a pretty good picture, yes or no? Poverty love. Jesus knows what it is to give his life a ransom for the sheep. And to love our tails and love our sorry tails. What a great God we have. Now, in the tribulation period, we saw this message, the sheep. Let's review real quick. I don't have a lot of time, but it's important. Then shall the king say at this judgment to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous say, Lord, when did we see you? You hungry and fed you and you were thirsty and we gave you drink. We saw you a stranger and took you in or naked. And we gave you clothes. When did we do that, Lord? They didn't know. And when did we see you sick or in prison? And we came to you, and the King, Jesus, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, say it with me, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my who? My who? That's the Jews during the tribulation period. And maybe others, maybe ministering to Christians during suffering, during executions, during imprisonment, during bombs going off. We've seen this happen before. It will happen in the last days. And he said, you did it unto me. So who are these sheep? They're believers in Jesus Christ. They are true believers. And the evidence of their relationship with Jesus is truly manifest. Say it with me. In what they what? In what they did. We can talk a good talk. But the thing I noticed about this passage, let's look at it real quick. What I noticed last time when I was studying this and preaching, they gave food to the hungry, and they did it when they were hungry. That's what I saw this last time. During the tribulation, during the all hell breaks loose on this earth, it's not like you're going to be sitting fat and happy. You ain't. If you're here. You're going to be hungry. But look at it. They gave food. They gave out of their own lack. You understand? When they got just a little, they shared it. They gave drink to the thirsty. They gave some of their drink to somebody when they were thirsty. That's what I see. They gave out of their poverty. Say that out. They gave out of their what? See, Jesus knows what it is to give out of poverty. He knows what it is to give when you're broken or when you're broke. They gave hospitality to strangers. This one really gets me right here. They gave clothes to the naked. I honestly believe during the tribulation, these people are going to have just the shirt on their back. And then somebody else has just been stripped naked. They ain't got a thing. And they take part of their clothes and give it to them. Are y'all hearing me or not? Kim said this reminds her, my wife said it reminds her of the passage, or this passage reminds her of these people that go in and rescue people that are being sex trafficked. And they open up this door and there's a room full of them that are naked. And Kim said, I can just imagine the police coming in and the officers or whoever it is that does this kind of work and giving their own clothes to these people. I can see a female cop or whatever she might be in on that rescue team. And here's women that don't have any clothes and she might pull off her shirt. And here she's got a bra on. But she don't mind standing there in a bra so that woman can be covered up in some clothes. That's what I see when I read this passage. Hard times in the tribulation. Y'all hear me? Are we okay? It's called poverty love. They visited the sick. That would have been at peril. And they even go to prison somehow and try to see people and help people. All at their own peril in the tribulation period. So, we talked about that last time. How many remember that? Y'all remember that message? Sort of a few of you, like three? Here we go. These are true believers in Jesus Christ, and their faith is what? Come on now, don't let that rain put you to sleep. We're going somewhere quickly. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the who? But whoso hath this world's good, and you see your brother has need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in you? This is a warning. Because he told the others, the goats in that passage in the judgment, I don't know you. Alex gave a scripture last week. We've done this in your name, and we've done this in your name. And Jesus will say, I don't even know who you are. See, Jesus knows what real love looks like. He knows what poverty love is. Giving out of your brokenness. Giving out of when you're broke, man. I mean, we can give, and I'm not trying to criticize giving. Giving's a great thing, guys, but my gosh, don't brag about it. And also, I imagine you got vivid memories in your mind when you were so down and out and somebody came to you. How many have a picture in your mind? You were so down and out in your life and somebody came to you sometime in your life. I mean, you were messed up. And somebody came to you. And sometimes it's somebody else who was broken. How many had something like that? Somebody helped me out and they'd been broken themselves, but through their brokenness, they helped me. Anybody like that in the room? There's a few of us that know what that is. My little children, let us not love in word, just our tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby, when you do that, you know you're of the truth. When out of your poverty, you're loving. When you're out of your brokenness, you're able to help people still. Boy, you want to talk about an evidence of Jesus Christ in your life. That is when it happens. Amen? So that was a little bit of that one message. Now we're segueing into this quickly. Here we go. Poverty love. What time you got? This is a marathon. We're doing great. Poverty. What's that word mean? I'm talking about poverty love today. Have I lost you? Is your head about to slip off your shoulders? Whiplash. I just was trying to go back and connect a dot. Guys, the scriptures tell us what will happen in the tribulation. It tells us about these people that are incredible. I want to be those people now. Say that out loud. I want to be those people now. I want to be that. Why? Because those are the ones that Jesus says, you're with me. It's not about the works. The works that we do is because of what we have in our heart. I don't want to have a heart that doesn't know the Lord. And my heart to know the Lord is going to be a heart that when I'm broken, I can still love. I can still do. Matter of fact, I might can do more through my brokenness than I can when I'm good. It's good stuff, man. What's the word poverty mean? Just straight up dictionary, very poor. It don't mean poor. It means what kind of poor? Very poor, very poor, very poor. Okay? Lacking is another word. lacking, poverty. Another word, deficiency. Boy, if that doesn't define brokenness, I don't know what does. I know the times I was left in my marriage and hurt so bad. Man, you talk about lacking. I didn't feel like I could even get up. I could do anything. I felt like crap. Got it? You shouldn't say that. I felt like crap, okay? Deficient. Deficient. Horrible. The word poverty, inferior, inferior, inferior. And the church, when you go through hard marriage times and you're left, the church will help you feel more inferior. Is that true or false? They'll tell you you can't serve the Lord. They'll tell you you ain't no good anymore. That's the dumbest people on the planet. You hear me? And so if other churches are tuning in, you're learning now how I think about you. Come on. It's not going to fly, guys. We need to be like Jesus. If He cared for me, you should care for me. If He cares for the broken, I need to care for the broken. Good word, man. Good stuff. Poverty. So what is poverty love? It's giving when I'm broke. Say that. These are just my words. This is what happens when I go on vacation. It's giving when I'm broke. You say, Gary, you ain't broke. No, I ain't broke. But, buddy, I know what broken is. How many would say I ain't broke, but I know what broken is? Any hands in the room? I know what broken is, Gary. Isn't it amazing that God can take the broken or the foolish things of the world and He can confound the wise? Isn't that crazy that He can use broken things? That's who we all are. If you, and I ain't got all day to do this, but we are vessels. But the best, we are broken vessels. That's what we are. We're crackpots, okay? But we want to be used of the Lord. He can make us beautiful. He can turn beauty. He can make beauty from what? Ashes. Amen? So it's giving out of my brokenness. That's my thinking here, poverty love. But really, it was me going back and thinking about these people in the tribulation period. How do they do that? How do they give like that? And how are they that way when they themselves are going through the tribulation? It's because they're giving out of their poverty. That, have I lost you again? Pastor, are we okay over here? They're giving out of their poverty. Amen? So let's look a little bit. You might say, well, where are we going from here? Real quick. It's not like we got a big crowd coming in. All right? Here we go. 2 Corinthians. How can I learn what poverty love looks like? And I went to the scriptures and I had a little study time. Here we go. In 2 Corinthians 8:1, we're going to switch gears. What does poverty love look like? And how can I be a person who loves out of my poverty? How can I be a person who loves when I'm broken? 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. This is King James. That's the Bible I use. We do you to wit of the grace of God. Say it with me. Bestowed on the churches of where? Macedonia. Okay? We're trying to learn about poverty love. There were these churches in Macedonia that Paul had helped start. They were very poor. They were very poor churches. They were in the region of Greece and Europe. And actually, Macedonia, I believe, is its own country today. It's real small. They were some of the most fervent for the gospel in Christ. And last a few hundred years, they've been nothing. But they're making a rebound in Macedonia. If you read about them, they're coming back with the gospel strong. Okay? But boy, during this time, they were incredible believers. So I want to learn from these people. I've got a couple others if we get to it, but let's learn from right here. How can I understand what poverty love looks like? Here's what the Apostle Paul said about this church. How that in a great trial of affliction, that don't sound too pleasant, does it? The abundance of their joy, that sounds good, and their deep what? Their deep what? Abounded unto what? Riches of their liberality. A lot of words there. What does that verse mean? We're trying to learn about poverty love. Well, there's a big negative in this church. Here's the big negative. They had great trials of affliction. They had great trials. They were tested by many, many trials. This church was. But keep looking. And they had deep poverty. They were very poor. So if we're going, it looks like, man, they can't do anything. This church can't do anything. These people can't do anything. Look at them. They're tested. They're being, you know, whatever it might be, persecuted. Who knows what's going on? How can they do anything? And they don't have a dime hardly at all. Very poor. But here's a big positive. Here's a big positive. We're trying to learn about poverty love. Here's a big positive. They had an abundance of what? Look at that right there. They had an abundance of joy, and they did what? They overflowed in what? Generosity. Now, I don't want to be ugly, and people ain't going to like me for saying this. But I just came from two different kind of mountains. I started out in the mountains of North Carolina. That's where I started my vacay. I drove a long way to the mountains of the Colorados, Colorado Mountains, the Rockies. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a difference of night and day. I don't mean to be ugly. Now, the mountains of Colorado are much more majestic. They're huge. They're beautiful. But they're a totally different kind of people. Did I just make myself clear? Not trying to put them down. I'm not trying to put them down. You can't even think about buying a home or a condo in the area I was in for under $1.5 million. It'll go up to $47 million, $69 million. Okay? There's just something about riches and wealth. Mountains, mountains. People, people. Different. And I'm not trying to put them down. I'm not. Everybody was nice. I didn't have a problem with anybody. But, buddy, if my car broke down, I would rather break down over here in this side of the country, in the mountains. You know what I'm saying? But what I mean by that, pretty sure, and it sounds like I'm judging, I guess I am, but I'm pretty sure over here you probably get somebody to help you. Wouldn't not necessarily get somebody not to help you over here. They just tend, there'd be more ones to call 911 or call a number for you. There's just a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference in our country. Y'all hear me or not? Say. There's just a difference. And you know what the difference really is? The difference is where the gospel is still preached and where church really matters and Christ is exalted. And I'm not saying the South has it all down or the mountains have it all down. There's a lot of places that don't through there. But I tell you what, it seems like that sure changes people. Am I losing you today or not? But now these people over here don't talk too good, some of them. But if you're hungry, I got a feeling if you ever taste what they make, you might like it then better than this. But you don't want to know what they put in it. You know what I'm saying? But my point is that, guys, churches are different. I could dress in a suit. I could be highfalutin every Sunday. I have a college education. I've doubled down on my roots, to be honest with you. But I just want us to be real people who know what it is to love people. You hear me or not? Say. And not care about status. Not, I want to care about people. Would you say that out loud? I want to care about who? But I can learn. I know that made some of you uncomfortable. You'll be fine. I want to be that kind of church right here. Of all things, when we started in high school, and we're giving out donuts, and we're loving on people, and we had a worship guide when you came in, they called me the country club church. The country club? I don't want to be a country club church. I want to be a church that loves Jesus and loves people. Just because we have nice stuff, we're going to do it debt-free, and we're going to work for it, and we're going to keep it nice. Hear me? But I don't want to ever brag or boast about this or let anything we have here, ooh, look at me. No, I want us to be people, Christ-centered and people-centered. You hear me? Y'all still cool with me? Gotta go. We got communion. I know. Here we go. Big positive. We saw that. Let's look real quick. I'm going to finish this one for sure. Verse 3 about the Macedonian church. They gave out of their poverty. For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Say that out loud with me. They gave not only what they could afford. They gave what? They gave out of their poverty. That's what they're going to do in a tribulation period. And they did it what? You don't hear me tell you, man, if you give, you're going to get rich. That ain't willingly. That's me dangling something out in front of your face. We ought to give because He's given to us. We ought to love because He loved my sorry tale. We ought to care because He cared for me. You hear me? Give to get rich. It's crazy. Verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive their gift. Paul writing. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. What does that verse mean? Here's what it means. Paul's writing. These Macedonian Christians, this church, it was so poor they had nothing. They had nothing. And they were being tried and they were being afflicted. They actually, what's the word? They what? They begged us. They begged us to receive their gift of love. And wait a minute. And take it to the suffering saints where? In case you're, when you hear your news and your politicians, and you see your politicians come up against Israel, I want you to remember these scriptures. Why are we getting to Israel? Why we care for Israel? Did you know the reason we support Israel and we care for Israel is it all comes from the Bible? You need to get your Bible in front of your politics. Did you hear me or not? Yes or no? Are they perfect people? No, they're not perfect people in Israel. But when the president of these United States of America, when they kill the guy who, Israel just killed the guy who orchestrated the slaughter of over 1,200 and something people in Israel, where their heads are cut off, some of their feet are cut off, they're burning some babies in some ovens. When they kill that guy and they ask the president, you know, what you think that was a good thing? He said it didn't help. It didn't help with the so-called peace process. Did you know any day you can kill a guy that masterminds the execution and slaughter of people, any day you can kill a guy like that's a good day? Got it? Yes or no? It's a great day. It's a great day. It's a great day. That's an evil man. Evil man. We've lost our way. Look at these people. Back it up. These people gave. They begged, please, Paul, take this money and go help those poor. Who were the suffering saints in Jerusalem? That's where Christ was crucified. That's where the church was birthed. They were killing and slaughtering the early church. The early church was being killed and slaughtered in Jerusalem. And these people in Macedonia, they had their own trials, but they felt like they were living on a vacation compared to those people. And they gave out of their poverty. Are y'all hearing it a little bit? Am I convoluted today? Verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. How can I be a person who is a person who gives out of their poverty? They did more than we thought was even possible, Paul says. How did they do it? How do you be a person who is a person of poverty love? According to this passage. And I know that it's one that's not read that much. And so I want to just see it with us this morning. How did they do it? How can I become Gary? Here's how you can become a person of poverty love. Give yourself to the Lord. Say that out loud. Give yourself to the who? One more time. Give yourself to the who? They gave themselves to the Lord. The second thing. Paul says they gave themselves to us. Here at Fellowship Church, we say we love Jesus and we love who? Why? Because Jesus said the first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and might and strength. The second is like it. Love your who? neighbor as yourself. And then he says this. On these two commandments hang every law of the prophets. If you have to just get it all boiled down to two things, it's about loving Jesus and it's all about loving people. And these people had that down. They gave themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves to people in need. And number three, say that out loud. They did what? They did it because it was right. Amen? You'll be a person of poverty love, give yourself to the Lord. You'll be a person of poverty love, give yourself to people. Look at them different. I'm talking about poverty love. Give it out of your brokenness. Give it when you're broke. Do it because it's right. Do it because it's what? It's right. This should be the church today. Poverty love. Okay? One last one. Raj, throw it up. What does poverty love look like? Jesus looked up. He saw the rich men casting their gift into the treasury, to the offering. And he saw a certain what? Poor what? Casting in her what? Tiny, tiny amount. Jesus said of a truth, I say unto you, this poor widow has cast in more than all of them. See, Jesus knows what poverty love looks like. It's not about the amount, it's about the heart. You hear me? Last verse. Of a truth I say unto you, this poor widow has cast in more than all of them. For all these have of their what? Their what? Abundance cast into the offering of God. Here's our word of the day. But she of her what? Has cast in all the living she had. Can you believe she made the Bible? I don't know if you got the message or not. I had another scripture. I'll close with this today. And I know I'm late, but like I said, I don't think there's a line out there. I got a letter recently criticizing me because I talk about my mother. I don't know if you're here today or not. But you hurt me. And I don't know people like you. And I don't want to be like you. The one person on this earth that taught me what it was like to love people was my mother. Did you hear me today? My mother was beat so bad in her face. I had no idea. She took a Polaroid camera. Y'all remember them cameras? You take the picture and it shoots it out. I can't imagine when you've been beat so bad, you turn the camera around backwards and you push the button and you take pictures of yourself. She did that one time. And then she took them and wrapped them in aluminum foil and she gave them to the neighbor across the fence. And she said, if anything happens to me, give this to my son, Gary. And after my mother's murder, which was sometime later, when I went across there and talked to that neighbor lady, she handed me that aluminum foil, and I opened it up, and there were those pictures of my mother's beaten face. Now, I say that to say this. Even though my mother was beaten, had great trial of affliction, she still would take little bags with things to give to people. She would give to women who were real poor, who didn't have tampons. My mother was the kind of woman, who even does such a thing? I would be embarrassed if it was me. But I guess when you've been beat so bad and it's been so hard on you, your pride's all gone anyway. And she was a giving woman. Did you know my mother beat like that? Hardly ever missed church. Y'all hear me or not? Say. What a wonderful woman my mother was. Did you know if it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't be saved? Or going to church in the morning. As I walked to church with her, I cussed her out. But she didn't let that deter her. She's my hero. You understand that? Please don't ever write me anything like that. I wasn't going to plan on saying all that. But it's okay. It's okay. I get to talk too, right? How unloving that was to me. You hear me, yes or no? Did you know there wouldn't be a fellowship church if it wasn't for my mother? There wouldn't be. Some of the drive I get, I know it's from the Lord, but God uses people. He uses people. Some of the drive I get when I've really been down, I've been hurt or been, you know, left or whatever, it's her. I can still hear her voice saying, "You can make it. I believe in you." Amen? So that's where that message comes from. Maybe it hit home a little bit with you today. I don't know if it did or not. I hope it stokes some memories of your own, of people in your life, or maybe you're this person. I look in this room and I see several of you that remind me of her. So anyway, don't want you to feel sorry for me. Don't come up and say you feel sorry for me. It was good that I got that letter because the Lord ministered to me. You hear me or not? What they meant for evil, God meant for good. Even though they started out their letter by saying some constructive criticism. My wife said that was restrictive opinion. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for His word. We're done. What a way to end.